The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Glory to you, Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit. And everyone that he does, he prunes so that it bears more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word that I spoke to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit on its own, unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
You may be seated. Today, I'm going to be talking about remaining. Jesus says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." I'm going to be talking about remaining in Jesus through presence, message, and mission, and I want you to look out for those. Presence, message, and mission. Repeat after me. Presence, message, and mission. Thank you very much for that. When I was previously married, in preparation for a trip, we would often gather the kids together, and we'd say something like this. Okay, now make sure you have everything. Books, headphones, earbuds had not been invented by that time. Pillow, blanket, backpack, go to the restroom, now. Toothbrush, whatever it is, right? And I used to have a dad rule, and the dad rule was no matter if you had to go or you didn't have to go, whenever we stopped, you went to the bathroom. Because invariably I had one child in particular who will remain nameless, and she would say when we were 5 minutes away from the previous rest stop, "I gotta go." While at the rest stop, she sat and listened to her music. So there was the dad rule, and every time we'd stop, they'd go, "Dad rule!" And everybody would get out of the car and go to the bathroom. Anyway, so then we would have everyone take something out to this 8-passenger GMC Safari that we drove for 15 years and pack it up. Now, in the reading from the Gospel of John today, the scene is similar to the packing of that GMC Safari and gathering everybody together. Do you have everything? But it's much more profound. The scene is that Jesus has come into Jerusalem. They have gathered in the upper room. He's giving them instructions before he is arrested and put to death. Just prior to this particular passage, Jesus promised to give them the gift of the Holy Spirit, to be with the apostles, and the Holy Spirit would be with the apostles and the disciples. Here, he's giving them instructions to prepare for the journey, just as we gave instructions to prepare for the journey. The journey about which we are speaking is his death and resurrection. We read this passage during Easter to remind us that on the 40th day after his resurrection, Jesus ascended into heaven, We are being prepared for the journey of life without the bodily presence of Christ except in the Eucharist until he comes again. We sing that every week. I have mentioned in the past that when two are gathered in his name, as Jesus says, he is with us. I have mentioned in the past that being told no by God is the best thing that can happen to us sometimes, and we don't even know that at the time. So this week, we add to these ideas of two or more gathered, he's with us. Sometimes it's good for him to say no. This week, we add to that collection the idea of remaining. The journey on which Jesus sends us, the mission of God in this world, is a journey to our own death and resurrection. We put to death the practices of life that are harmful to us. An alcoholic has to stop drinking and stop doing all the things that encourage drinking or that created the environment for drinking. They have to stop hanging out with people, the people who facilitated their drinking. They may even have to break off a relationship with a spouse or a lover because that person will not learn how to live without alcohol or will not learn how to live without them having alcohol. They have to replace the bars that they went to with other places filled with people who do not have to go to a bar to have fun, to drink, and have to, excuse me, they do not have to go to a bar and drink to have fun. That's what I meant to say. They have to change their lives completely. It is the same for those who are the children of alcoholics. They have to stop saying that an addict's behavior is okay. They have to stop saying that the addict can come back without sobriety anytime they want, as painful as that is. They have to say, come back to me when you're sober. They have to stop giving the addict money, the keys to the car, and the code to the garage door, keypad opener, what a garage door opener keypad. They have to stop telling the addict that it's okay, because it's not okay. You're destroying yourself. It's not okay. They have to stop taking the verbal abuse, the psychological games, and possibly the physical abuse. No is the answer. They have to change their lives completely. The reason why this stuff makes sense to Christians is because the whole 12-step program is basically, or whatever 12-step program you're in, is basically Christianity without mentioning Jesus. Even confession. Tell all the wrongdoings that you've done to another person, right? After you've done a fearless and moral inventory of yourself. So giving up your life to a higher power, whoever that is, but for us, we know who that higher power is. Giving yourself up to the higher power of Jesus Christ means remaining in him at all times, in all places, in all conversations, and for all purposes. Did you catch that? All times, all places. All conversations, all purposes. All times?
All times.
All places?
All places.
All conversations?
All purposes.
All purposes.
All purposes.
Thank you so much. To remain in him means we are connected as a vine to a branch. To remain in him, we do certain things to have his presence, his message, and his mission before us at all times. His presence, his message, his mission before us at all times. To have his presence means that we gather together on Sundays to worship him. Hail or high water. Did you catch that? Yes. Snow, rain, heat. We gather together to worship him because renewal is a communal process. Renewal is a communal process. He is with us when two or more are gathered. That's the same principle of Al-Anon and AA and Narcanon and all of those. They gather in a meeting. Why? Because recovery, renewal, is a communal process. We worship him together to know that we are not alone in this. We come together to know we are not crazy when we believe the things that we believe. We are not weird. We are good. We see other loving people that remind us, or maybe even hold us to account. We have to have presence. Remaining requires presence. To have his presence means that we receive him in the Word of God, read in Scripture, and preached. We get our context for life in the context of the stories of the people of God. You are no different than the people we read about in the Scriptures. We tend to think that they're up there lofty, it's high, it's, oh, it's wonderful. But no, they're no different than you. Almost every letter in the New Testament is written because, almost every letter in the New Testament is written to a dysfunctional church. Paul had to straighten them out. That's how we got those letters. It's not because they were wonderful and they were perfect and they were living life as saints. No, they had to work at it. They needed each other. They needed the apostles. They needed the presence of the Holy Spirit. To have his presence means that we receive him in the Word of God and in Scripture and in the preaching. We get our context of life from the stories of the people of God, and we get our encouragement from the message that is forged from prayer and study by the priest. To have his presence means we receive him in the Eucharist every Sunday. This is the great connection. He enters us and enlivens us, every part of us, spiritually and physically. The Lord of the universe enters us as nourishment for the journey, nourishment for our bones. To have his presence is to come together and worship, hear the Word of God, and to receive him in the Eucharist. That's presence. Now, message. To have his message is to pray. When I say pray, I mean a conversation with God where we listen as much as we talk. We listen for him in the silent whisperings of our hearts, in the logical thought process that he gave us, in words from others, and in the ways that we are touched by what he said. We're moved by him in epiphanies, by when we walk in a room and see something, and it reminds us, boom, that's what God was talking about in prayer. To have his message is to have our hearts changed, so that we turn away from the things that lead us away from God. We may have to change places we go. We may have to change the type of entertainment that we enjoy. We may have to change the type of things that are our hobbies or the people with whom we hang out. We may have to change those things if it's not in alignment with the message of Christ. To have his message means that we also change the ways in which we spend our money. Uh-oh, did Father go there? Yes, I did. We say, by the way that we use our money, Lord, you are Lord even over my money. This is no different than the crops or the offerings of the animals that the ancestors that we read about in the Bible brought to the Lord at the temple. Their money was their crops, was their animals. The first crops, the first offering, were no less valuable to them than the first offerings and the first check that we write from our paychecks. The first offering is called the tithe. And to have his message means that we change the way we spend our time and our money as expressions of giving our life as an offering to God. That's presence. That's message. Now, mission. To have his mission means that we reorient our goals to include reaching out to others with the message of God's love for the world. We may go into a bicycle shop and talk to the owner, invite them to come to church. We may meet somebody in an Airbnb and invite them to come to church. We might meet somebody at the grocery store who's talking to us that we haven't seen in a while, who seems down. Why don't you come to our church? We have business cards back there that you can carry with you that you don't have to have them write down the time and number of it. You just give them the business card. It has everything they need to know, the mass time, the website, the phone number to call me if they're in trouble, whatever. Where to park? It has everything. The mission means that we reorient our goals to include reaching out to others with the message of God's love. We should do this through the spoken word, through everyday action, and through our future plans. To have the mission of Christ means we take these practices into our homes daily. We have a prayer spot that we've dedicated for prayer in our homes. We read the Bible daily. You need a Bible plan? Get a hold of me. I'll give you a Bible plan of what to read. Little by little. We open our homes to others of the faith, invite each other to come over for dinners and things, to join in prayer and Bible reading at those dinners. We keep the message in our minds and on our tongues at all times. That is the mission. You must be on the lookout for those who need the love of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've said this to you before. My job is somewhat easy. I'm the priest. I'm in here. I talk to you. You believe. Your job is hard. You go out into the world and you have to be who you are, yet a Christian, amongst people who are not. And you have to be aware and take a risk to invite them to come join us. That's hard work. And I admire you for it. And I love you for it. But that's the message. I mean, that's the mission. To have his mission is like the people I've heard of who were retired and got an RV, and they traveled to wherever there was a disaster every year so that they could help. Or the retired computer store owner who now repairs computers of everyone in his church that cannot afford repairs. Or the people who've dedicated their musical gifts, their organizational gifts, their kind personality to be a greeter, or whatever it is, the gift they have to serve Christ, they offer it and they offer it freely. What is important is that they know that they are serving Christ and making no bones about serving Christ. Why did you do this for me? I did it because I love Jesus Christ and he wants you to know that you're loved. That's why I did this. Remaining in him is to live a life of presence. Message. Mission. Before us at all times. We change our lives so that we can be his presence, so that we can hear his mission, his message, and live his mission. When we do, we prune all the dead stuff from our lives and add the life-giving things to our life. My grandmother used to grow prize-winning roses. And when I was a little boy, we walked into the backyard and there were 100 rose bushes back there. And when the wind would whip up, you could smell rose in the air. It's a beautiful memory from my childhood. But my grandmother walked in through and she had a paring knife. And she was merciless to those rose bushes. She'd walk by them, bad branch, clip, you're gone. This one is, oh, that one doesn't look so good. She'd reach down to the ground and she'd rip it out of the ground. She'd look at the root. She goes, I suspected it. Cut a lesion off of the root, stuck it back in the ground. Came back 2 weeks later. The thing was just full and blossoming with roses. When we do those things, we get rid of those bad parts. We make room for more growth. The bad things that we're doing in our lives are the things that keep us from growing. Say no to them. Cut them off. All of that keeps us remaining in him. So, as we prepare to leave this place for the journey to be Christ in the world, which is what you were given in your baptism, when we leave this place to be on our journey to be Christ in the world, we need to make sure that we have everything for the journey. If you are listening to this message, you probably do. If you are listening to this message, it never hurts to ask or be reminded that we are on a journey, a way of life. And Jesus has given us everything we need to arrive at our destination. So I invite us to go through the checklist to make sure. Don't answer me right now, but just say in your head, right? Think about this. What are you doing or not doing to foster his presence? What are you doing or you're not doing to live his message? What are you doing or not doing to carry out his mission? The stuff you're not doing, do it. The bad stuff that you're doing, prune it. The stuff, good stuff that you're doing, do more of it. So plan accordingly, my friends. It's time to pack up the van. We got a trip to make. In our closing prayer today, we're going to say this. May these mysteries give us new purpose and revival. Isn't that awesome? We are people of the revival, people of the renewal, people of the presence, people of the mission, people of the presence, people of the message, people of the mission. So let us go forth now and love the world. May God bless the preaching of the gospel in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.